This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery, like McKenna, brings a top-tier lineup. With Leif Davis-esque delivery right to your door, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So the only thing left to say is, you win. Order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus. Rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hello and welcome to the Blue Monday podcast, covering Ipswich Town since 2015. I'm Seb Brown and you are tuned into the pre-match show in partnership with our good friends at the Greyhound Pub in Ipswich. And do not adjust your sets because you might be thinking, hang on a minute, why is he talking and why are these two people the other way around? We are trying something new with me hosting. It's very much like when you learn to drive and somebody sits next to you and does all the pedals. So I'm reliant on my good friend Rich Woodward to do the pedals tonight. And Rich, how are you?
I'm good, mate. Yeah, we're here to talk about Accrington, of course, which you neglected to mention. Well, that's fine. That's what this is all about. We're kind of making sense of things. But yeah, I'm good, mate. We've got plenty to talk about. Some transfer business, which is always exciting, and some really excellent transfer business as well, which, we, to be fair, has been teased all week, all month, basically, and has now happened. A random loan signing. But yeah, how are you? How did you find that? You didn't go too badly wrong, apart from missing out Accrington.
You have press record, haven't you? We're not just doing this just into the ether. It is recording, I assume. Yeah, you still can push all the buttons. Okay,
yeah, brilliant. Yeah.
Good stuff. Well, we have a guest joining us today, so we're going to invite Kieran Stanley in from ITFC Women. So without doubt, we'll go to the news. Kieran, thank you very much for joining us again. You were on a couple of weeks ago and you've rejoined us. Obviously, we weren't too bad on you. An amazing 9-0 victory against Hounslow, which put an end to a mini winless run. I guess it's great when those kind of results all come together.
Yeah, it was a much needed win. I think it was one of those games where the performance was probably more important than the result. I think we went into the game expecting to win the game. That's no disrespect to Hounslow, but if you looked at how they have been performing, not just this season, but in the previous two seasons, I don't think they've won for nearly 3 years. And had it not been for COVID, I think we'd have seen the back of them a long time ago. So, with all due respect to them, we were quite confident, or astronomically confident, going into the game. We knew we were going to win the game, but it was one of them where the manager was keen to emphasise that we knew we had to score goals because there's now 12 games to go in the season and there's always a chance the season could come down to goal difference. And when you're presented with teams like that, you've got to score as many goals as possible. So to get the 9, you know, we're really happy with that. And that kick-started our calendar year.
I was really shocked by the Joe's post-match and Laffey as well. I mean, we've spoken to both of them. Sorry, Seb, I'm going to do a little bit of hosting here. And we knew the kind of level of professionalism, the standards that they set. From the people watching outside who may be armchair supporters, 9-0 on the face of it looks excellent. But both of them were kind of slightly disappointed with the nature of the performance. The pitch was a factor. Laffey comes back, we need to mention it, obviously sponsored by Blue Monday, and Lucy O'Brien, a couple of assists for her, but Laffey, 2 goals, 3 assists, a great return for her. But just that level of setting standards, and it's great that 9-0, you can kind of look at that and think, yeah, that was okay, but we could be better. And I guess that tells you everything about the team.
Yeah, I mean, the game was kind of split into thirds, I thought, because the first half, we were 3-0 up at half-time, and in any other game, you're 3-0 up at half-time, you know, sunshine and roses. You're really happy with that. Like, that's a dream scenario. But in a game like that against Hounslow, I felt it was a little bit disappointing because the first half we had such control of the game. We were totally dominant and we probably weren't anywhere close to our best, but it was more a reflection on maybe how much they struggled in the game rather than how good we were. So I think we were a little bit frustrated with the performance in the first half and knew we had to up it in the second. And then we scored another three goals and thinking, okay, well, 6-0 was not a bad victory in the end. But then the game up until the 88th minute was 6-0 and then finished 9-0. So it was almost like the game was split into thirds. And ultimately, I think we're happy with the 9-0 in the end, but maybe not necessarily as happy with the way that it flowed and panned out and having to sort of, you know, as I said, split it into thirds. So I think we'd like to have been a lot more dominant throughout and really, really, you know, take full advantage of our dominance and try and score more and not have to leave it into thirds, like I said. But yeah, on another day, it's crazy I'm saying this, on another day it could have been 15-16, which is crazy to say. So it wasn't our best performance of the season, not close to it, but we did what we needed to do and we're not going to scoff at a 9-0 victory. So yeah.
Brilliant. And speaking of potential double figure returns, obviously next up is Keynsham Town, who we beat 11-2 earlier in the season. So you must be hoping the momentum and the performance just builds into that game.
Yeah, of course. Keynsham are a bit of a strange team, having found out about them earlier in the season. They seem to have a system where some players will only play home games and some will only play away games. So it's almost like preparing for two different teams, and we don't really know what to expect this weekend, but their home form has been a lot better than their away form, probably for obvious reasons after what I just mentioned. So yeah, we're a little bit like, we kind of know what to expect, but we kind of don't. It's an odd one to prepare for, but nevertheless we're really confident going into the weekend. And you know, I think if you want to win a title, you've got to beat the teams that are lower down in the table, and we're fully intent on doing so.
Absolutely. And a rare midweek home game coming up on the not too distant horizon as well.
Yeah. So we've got Gillingham next Wednesday night at the Gold Star Ground. Looking forward to that, although it's going to be freezing cold. Normally, when we have midweek games, they're either sort of September, October time, and then like March, April. So the weather's not too bad. But playing a game on the coast in mid-January on a Wednesday night, it's going to be pretty Baltic. Which will bring, you know, it'd be a challenge in itself trying to deal with those conditions. But it's our first game under the lights at Felixstowe probably for a good couple of years. So really looking forward to the occasion. And yeah, it should be a decent game because, to be fair to Gillingham, since the last time we played them back in August where we beat them 3-0 at their place, they've massively improved since then. I think they've got themselves up into the top six. They've got themselves on a really strong run of form. So I think it will be a lot more challenging this time around and should be a good game.
And it's a 7:45 kickoff, isn't it, on the Wednesday? Is that right?
That's right, yeah.
And what are the details with True Blue and ticket prices and stuff?
Yeah, so it'll be the standard. So obviously free entry for True Blues as standard, and then £5 for adults, £3 concessions, and under 16 is free with a paying adult. So yeah, if you want to watch some football under the lights on a Wednesday night, I believe the men are away at Wimbledon on the Tuesday. So you could almost, you know, if you're not going to Plough Lane on the Tuesday, come to the Gold Star Ground on a Wednesday and get your football fix.
Brilliant, absolutely. Yeah, well, obviously, too, an amazing result last week. Hopefully, they'll keep the good run going against Keystone and then Gillingham. And then it's an FA Cup game against Newcastle on the horizon as well, isn't there?
That's right, yeah. So next weekend, yeah, we're off to Newcastle. So we've got a long trip to Bristol and then a long trip to Newcastle with the home game sandwiched in the middle of that. So, yeah, we're really looking forward to that Newcastle game because it's a new team that we've never faced before. They're flying in the division below us, so we know that they're going to be a challenge. And the game has just been moved to the home of Newcastle Falcons Rugby Club, so it's going to be in a stadium. So I think it's just over 10,000 capacity. And from what I've seen on social media from their end, I think they're confident of a really big crowd getting down there. It seems to be creating a lot of traction, so it should be a really, really good occasion. And of course, if we win the game and progress into the fifth round, that will equal our club record. So, yeah, and then who knows who we could draw in the next round if we are to get through that. So,
Rich, put your hand up if you've got a question. Yes, fire away.
Just to direct people if they're interested in this as well, it's probably certainly too soon for Sunday in Keynsham, possibly too soon from Newcastle, but may not. CEO and the ITFC sponsorship team are looking for companies or very wealthy people to support the away trips for the women's team. Do you want to quickly mention that? And I mean, we've mentioned Theo's details, Theo Benaworth at ITFC, but that's an opportunity if people want to get involved in that.
Yeah, absolutely. So we had Michael Kennedy from John Fowler Solicitors based in I believe it was Clacton in Essex. He came with us to Southampton, almost like an exclusive behind the scenes experience of traveling with the team, you know, in the hotel, having a bit of dinner, getting access to the game and being in and around the team environment for that whole weekend. And he absolutely loved it. So if there are any companies or people out there that want to experience that kind of exclusive behind the scenes look and come away with the team on an away trip and get to experience everything that we do, then that's available. And Theo will be able to talk you through that, because it really is a great experience. And it's great for us to show what we get to experience. And hopefully we can get more people on board, because it's great to have those people involved.
Sit next to Kieran on the coach. That's the kind of stuff that's where the money goes. Nice one.
Absolutely.
Brilliant. Well, thank you very much for coming on, Kieran. Good luck against Keisherman and against Gillingham. And hopefully we'll have you on in the not too distant future with some more wins under the belt.
Absolutely. Thanks, guys.
So we move on from Kieran, thanking him for joining us. We move on to the news. So after what felt like 48 to 72 hours of complete radio silence after it was broken, Christian Walton finally signed and joined us. Was it last night? It was, wasn't it? No, Wednesday night. I've lost track of
days. Well, it depends when folk are listening to this, isn't it?
Very good point. Yeah, he signed on a 2.5-year deal till the 2024 end of 2024 season with a 1-year option, a very low six-figure fee if you believe what's written in the press. And Rich, that's a superb piece of business, isn't it?
It is, yeah. As reported, I need to say that's reported by TWTD. So Stuart Taylor obviously will dispute anything that's written in TWTD. So it's probably a multi-million pound transfer deal. But we're big fans of Christian Walton here on Blue Monday, obviously. I'm really grateful to Marcus Nash and the team ITFC for setting us up with a conversation with him. Spoke really well. That interview is obviously available. If I've got the time, I'll put a link up the top corner for that. And it was a weird one because I didn't want to pry too much into his personal circumstances there, because he's been on loan for quite a long time, quite a few loan spells, and end of the year's contract was up as well. And you don't want to say to a human being, what are you thinking about for the next summer kind of thing? It's like his livelihood and his job. And the interview you did with Jacob for ITFC on YouTube and Twitter, excellent, really articulate, really motivated, really passionate. As we expected, and we were debating this on Twitter as well. I mean, in recent years, our January business has largely been loans, and this is probably a marquee signing in when it comes to January windows for maybe 10 years. I'm struggling to think of a better signing. So really happy for him, really happy for us, and we build, don't we? We move forwards.
Absolutely. I mean, it's a, you know, we've got him now. He's 26 now, isn't he? So by the end of the contract, you know, he's moving
for a keeper.
Exactly. Yeah, he's moving into his peak years as a keeper, and it's an absolutely superb piece of business. I'm guessing now, what do you think that means for Clagkey and Holy? Presumably Holy will move on this window, do you think? And Clagkey becomes the backup, or?
Yeah, so Bradford will link with Holy on Thursday morning. That doesn't surprise me. I kind of always a little bit worried about injuries, but I think there's plenty of keepers in the under 23s. There, so that doesn't surprise me. Holy's obviously out of contract. Hladke's our player, so it kind of makes sense. And Hladke's a very decent enough backup at this level as well. So, yeah.
Do you think there's something to be said for potentially keeping Holy and loaning Hladke out for 6 months to gain some confidence? Or do you think that's a bit of a kicking based on how his Ipswich Town career has gone so far?
Yeah, I mean, I've got history with these two guys, haven't I? So I need to be really careful.
That's why I've asked you.
With what I say, I would suggest that given Holy is likely to not be here next season and Hladke is, that I would probably go with the deal that's happening at the moment for him rather than loaning out Hladke. But there is something to be said for his, it feels to me like a lot of his issues are confidence based, but maybe just being in and around the squad and the team and stuff like that takes the pressure off him a little bit, and then he can regroup. And, you know, if the opportunity comes through Walton maybe being injured, hopefully not. Or maybe this, you know, towards the end of the season, if we miss out on the playoffs, again, hopefully not, there might be opportunities for Hladke towards then, and then you build that confidence in, don't you, into the summer.
Yeah, sure. Great business. And obviously he's now an Ipswich Town player full time, and it's a position we can hang our hat on and you know, say we haven't really got to, hopefully, touch wood, worry about that position now for the next couple of years. So great work all round. We've had an exit as well. Miles Kenlock has made his way down the A12, shockingly, to join the ITFC reserve B team academy, Colchester United. Obviously Miles didn't play, not registered for the league for the first half of the season. I think it was quite clear his time here was up. He made a couple of appearances, I think, in the league and the Carabao, not the Carabao Cup, the EFL Cup. Pizza Cup, that's it, and the FA Cup, and a good chance for him to go out and play some games, because, you know, his contract in reality isn't going to be renewed in the summer. So a good chance for him now to go out and play some games, and a pretty decent signing for Colu as well, I would suggest.
Yeah, I feel sorry for Miles. Yeah, he's played a lot of games at a championship level, we forget. But he's always been, I was describing him to my brother-in-law, he's a Colu fan, as a kind of a, he's a 6 or a 7 out of 10 type of player, but you very rarely, you know, a lot of players will some weeks put in a 9, then you'll get a 4 or 5 the next week. It's very rare that you get an excellent performance from Kenlock or a very terrible performance, but he's probably just below a kind of a 7 or an 8 to be the kind of player that you'd give that left back position to full time. And, you know, he's obviously been not trusted by Paul Cook for whatever reason. I quite like him, but I think he can, I think a level below, I think it's a loan that gives him an opportunity to make a statement and to prove himself around familiar faces. Cole, you can now name a full 11 and also have plenty of people in the management staff, including Wayne Brown, who's now interim boss. So Colchester United is definitely working a treat there for them, although they're really crap in the league at the moment. But yeah, good luck to him. And Emma Hughes, obviously there too, recently signed for them. So yeah, I wish him well, but I think he's clearly not the standard we need.
Yeah, I think it sums it up quite nicely. And obviously with Louis Barry going and Christian Walton becoming a permanent transfer, we freed up some loan squad places, and we filled one today with a signing pretty much out of the blue. It wasn't really discussed, I don't think, until this morning, was it? And we've had the 23-year-old Bristol City midfielder, Tariq. I'm going Backinson. Are you going Backinson or are you going Bakinson?
Bakinson.
Bakinson, you think. Okay. He's joined on loan for the rest of the season, and there's an option to make it permanent in the summer. Nigel Pearson doesn't seem to be like he'll be missing him very much based on his comments. What's your thoughts on this one? Is it not an area of the squad that we are, you know, potentially, we've got so many options, I think, in the middle of the park. It strikes me as a bit of a strange one.
Yeah, on the face of it, I think. I mean, we'll probably, Ben knows much more about him from his championship coverage, so the guys will definitely speak about this on Sunday. In respect of what it means for Ipswich, McKenna has said that he can play a number of positions. We don't know what those are. Maybe Ben might. So again, watch on Monday morning. But I do think we lack, you know, El Mazzuni is kind of, was notionally been the backup for Morsey, that kind of combative, ball-winning central midfielder. And I think Bakinson kind of, I think, fill that role quite well. It might be that there's a different role for Evans, maybe the three at the back. There's people on TWTD speculating there. But I think, you know, you mentioned Kladke in this situation. Harper's hardly played for the last 2-3 months, has he? So maybe Harper's due a loan move. Maybe there's a decision on Nolan that feels like it's long overdue as well. So suddenly those two players are out of the mix. You need cover there, and maybe Bakinson, you know, he's got a point to prove now. Pearson's kind of said he's not got the right attitude. So we'll see there. It might be that suddenly he ends up on the right-hand side in the back, in the kind of the midfield, you know, the right wing back position or whatever. We just don't know. But, you know, he's known to Mark Ashton. He obviously trusted him. So, you know, it's not a kind of a life-shattering transfer, but one that you never know might make a valid contribution if we're challenging towards the playoffs towards the end of the season. You never know. Scores are gone.
I guess we can't lose, can we? We can't lose. It's a loan deal and we've got an option to make it permanent. So yeah, we win both ways. You know, if it goes really well, we turn it into a permanent transfer and maybe look to reshuffle the squad a little bit in the summer. If nothing works, we shake hands in May and we say thanks very much. And he goes back to Bristol City to face Nigel Pearson.
So. Yeah, I wouldn't be. Oh, there's, if you want a motivation to make a loan spell work for you, then there it is. And it sounded like he had COVID, I think, a lot, and maybe before Christmas, and has struggled to get back in the team. But we don't know what the situation is behind the scenes there. But yeah, he's played enough games for Bristol City for me to say that he can do well at League One level. So yeah, I'm happy.
And he's been signed in time for the squad on Saturday. So without further ado, let's go into Accrington at home. So Accrington are slightly above us in the league table, one place above us in 10th on 36 points. So I guess if we're looking at games we have to win to start clawing back on sides above us, this definitely ticks that box, doesn't it? Tell us about their season so far.
Yeah, so I don't know about Accrington. It's one of these teams that seem to be, maybe because they beat us at home, I always think maybe they're better than they are. But as you say, 10th, doing okay, 10 wins, 6 draws, 10 defeats, kind of typical mid-table type form, really.
Like us, really, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly right. You know, much of a muchness, us two, aren't we? The battle of the mid-table, hopefully not too much longer for us. But yeah, I mean, on a decent run of late, I think I only conceded 2 in the last 5. The last 3 games have been draws, but draws against Sunderland and MK. But a little bit of disciplinary issues, red card in the last 2 matches. Last time out, drew with Sunderland, 84th minute equaliser here, according to our script. But I think this is the theme that we're starting to see. Lots of shots on goal. I think it was quite a... The 1-1 draw flattered Sunderland, from what I've seen from the stats. They create, you know, quite a lot of chances, but just can't convert them. But yeah, that equaliser came after Ross Sykes sent off, and that disciplinary thing is a bit of a question mark, and it's not worked out for them because these players are going to be missing. They're important players for Saturday.
Yeah, and it shows a bit of character, you know, to go to play one of the so-called league big boys, I think, Sunderland, to be a man down and then equalise after the red card with 6 minutes to go or so. So they have shown a little bit of character. Is it fair to describe them as a bogey side for us? I mean, we were at the FA Cup game, weren't we, in the relegation season, and then we had the year later when Toto had a bit of a mare and got... Did he get hooked at half-time because he gave away a penalty or something? And I can't remember. Obviously, we lost this season. I'm not sure what we did there last season. But is it fair to call them a bogey side, do you think? We've not had the best of records against them recently, have we?
Certainly away. I think we pumped them 4-0 in the 1920 season at home, and maybe there's a little bit of a, you know, we've been to, is it the Wham Stadium still? Yep. And it is one of those grounds where I think we struggle to turn up for. You know, we're used to the bigger stadiums and, you know,
the nice, you know,
Portman Road is, yeah. Portman Road isn't is as nice as it used to be, but decent enough surroundings. And I know they're spending money, and we'll talk about the chairman in a bit as well. But I do think we struggled to motivate ourselves there, and they seem to have found a way to play against us. That being said, John Coleman maybe kind of had the kind of ear Everett of voodoo against Paul Cook when we played them earlier in the season, because he knows him so well. So maybe that's a factor as well. But all bets are off, I think, playing them at Portman Road under Kieran McKenna.
Yeah, fair enough. And you've done a bit of a Scooby-Doo video flashback to the flagship show following the 2-1 defeat there back in October. So do you want to push the button?
Yeah, let's see what we said back then.
You know, we go in 1-0 up, happy days, keep it tight, let's get the second and get out of Dodge, you know. But
yeah. Accrington came up strong, and I think we lasted 5 minutes before they equalised. But on 79 minutes, the inevitable happens.
I think that's the most disappointing thing. I mean, we had 2 shots all game. We had 50, yeah. Again, shades of last season, at 54% possession, 2 shots all game, one of which was the goal. Yeah, disappointing.
Very disappointing indeed.
Horrible weather, windy, rainy, horrible. No one really fancies it. Got what we deserved in the end. Nothing.
Good old Dave.
I think Dave summed it up perfectly there, didn't he? It was a cold, horrible, blustery northern away day. And like you said, we just didn't turn up. And it was so disappointing because it came just after that 6-0 victory at home to Doncaster, didn't it? And you're kind of thinking, right, well, here we go. You know, Morsey's now in the side and Cook's got all his signings settled. And we're really looking to use his word, we're looking to gel and move on quickly. And it was just such a case of after the Lord Mayor's show, wasn't it?
Yeah, another false dawn. And that kind of summed up the Paul Cook era, really. And, you know, I remember listening to that on the radio, and the momentum turned. You know, there was definitely something about us when we used to do that, and the goal was coming. And that's always something you say about us, particularly in the second half of matches. You know, as soon as that as soon as we either concede an equaliser or we don't convert a chance, you know, similar to Bolton last week, first goal changes the match for us. Certainly, the case this time when Accrington, yeah, just got the better of us and we didn't fancy it. And those are the kind of performances that sum up our spell in League One. Just not up for the fight. You know, Cheltenham, you know, so many performances like that away from home where we should put in a professional performance and we just don't.
And it's why we're sat in 11th and they're sat in 10th, and it's a bit of a mid-table shootout, isn't it? It's the kind of size that we need to be brushing to one side earlier in the campaign, and it's the reason we haven't done that, which is why we sit where we are with the playoffs looking quite distant in the horizon. So 16th in the form table away from home with 12 points. So they're not amazing away from home. Played 12, won 3, drawn 3, lost 6. Only scored 11 goals away from home and conceded 21. Interestingly, their XG away from home is 1.63 per game, which is the fifth best in the league. They just don't take their chances, do they?
No, they don't. I was surprised that when I saw that. I mean, on average, the most shots are taken away from home in the league by far. 15 shots per game on average away from home. Rotherham just behind them on 14. I mean, that's really stark. Most aerial duels won away from home as well. On average, 30 a match. But goals scored, as you mentioned, is only 11. That's 20th in the League One. So there is chances created. It might, the argument might be that these are low quality chances, but the XG says not. You know, 1.63 XG there, expected goals for the chances they're creating there. But a lot of them are from set pieces. You know, 36% of the away goals from set pieces. We know they're a physical team. We know they're a big team. So that's something we need to be wary of. But a team that isn't afraid to give it a go away from home. And you know, we know John Coleman. He's been around the block for a long old time. And you know, his team are not going to fear coming here to Portman Road, but it just depends which version of Ipswich turn up, whether it's Gillingham Ipswich or Bolton Ipswich.
And I'm guessing he'll want to help out his old mate Paul Cook. They're very close mates, aren't they? So they'll probably want to do him a bit of a favour and look to potentially turn us over. Andy Holt is the chairman there, obviously, quite outspoken on Twitter. Took over in October 2015 and has shown steady improvement since then. You know, the 2015-16 season, they lose in the playoffs after missing out on the autos on the last day of the season. 2017-18, they win League Two, and now they're firmly established in League One, aren't they? They don't really ever suffer any really relegation issues or scraps. They finished 14th, 17th, 11th, and currently 10th. So I think it's fair to say they are punching, you know, maybe slightly above their weight, but they're a really good side who are now fully established in this league.
And if you can sell players to Ipswich every season
and pay
like
for
Caden Jackson
new,
and Cameron Burgess,
stands and seats, exactly, and dugouts, right, and stuff. Yeah.
How much of the infrastructure at Accrington is paid for by Marcus Evans and to a lesser extent, Game Changer? And great. You know, I don't always agree necessarily what Andy Holt has to say, or the way he goes about stuff. You know, he's outspoken, and that's, you do get the good and the bad on that. But, you know, for Accrington, this is, you know, mid-table knee one is decent. If you can establish yourself that you'll never get, as you say, you're never going to be in relegation danger. You might maybe, you know, even dabble towards the playoff end of this and playoffs towards the end of the season. But if, you know, if you finish 10th and you know that you can do that, you can spend some money, you can build up the infrastructure around the stadium, you can maybe invest a little bit more in the playing squad, and then maybe, who knows, Championship in a few years time. Or, you know, there's nothing to say that Accrington couldn't go on a run. I think possibly the injuries and the suspensions they've had don't help, but you know, they're a team that's well organized by John Coleman. Maybe their issues are away from home, but you know, they're a decent enough team at this level, and no, they are a bogey team for us, aren't they? And they're a bogey team for a lot of teams. Both MK, both Sunderland in recent weeks haven't been able to beat them.
And like I say, they're above us in the league and they're on a good run of form with no defeats in the last five games. So it's not going to be an easy game, I don't think. Tell us about their possession and their defending and their style of play. What should we expect on Saturday?
Yeah, I think it would be maybe a bit lazy to say they're a long ball team. I don't think they are. You know, their possession is about 50%, which is par for the division. The accuracy is fine as well. It seems to me that, you know, the passing is functional, but they will try to get shots off. You know, that 14.6 per game on average, I think, over the course of the whole season. They'll try long shots, but the set pieces are there as well. So I'm not going to pretend they're not an MK Dons, put it this way, but I certainly don't think they're a long ball team either. And we've been debating, haven't we, what formation they generally play, but they've got pace and width offered by their fullbacks as well. So, you know, they'll aim for their forward. We'll talk about him in a bit. He's someone that I very much like. I should have put my Leamington FC shirt on the wall behind me there. But different, you know, the thing, this is going to damn them with fame and praise, but they're just pretty, they're okay. They're pretty good at what they do. You know, this isn't a team that's going to pass us to death, but it isn't an aerial bombardment either. They kind of, they can mix it up. They're quite adaptable. I think they're quite happy to go like, then match up the teams as well that they play against as well. So they're quite fluid. But I think the good thing for us, as I mentioned, the away form, not great, but the suspensions have come at a really bad time and some inexperienced players perhaps being thrown into the mix out of necessity on Saturday, which is going to help us out.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like home comforts. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Whether you need a VPN to protect you while online, to allow you to change your worldwide location virtually, or maybe a bit of both, NordVPN gives you the freedom to do so. NordVPN also allows you to stream TV shows, films, and even sporting events which aren't available in your local region, changing to a country which is showing that content, meaning you can switch as seamlessly as a Kira McKenna in-game tactical tweak with just one click. But that's not all. NordVPN can also look after you while online, preventing your card details and passwords from falling into the wrong hands, safeguarding your personal and sensitive information from harm. Think of it as a cyber Sam Morsey, offering protection to your own personal back four, but with far fewer yellow cards. NordVPN is available for the price of a cup of Bovril per month, and one account can be used across 6 different devices. Visit nordvpn.com/Blue Monday or click the link in the podcast description for more information about the offer and a risk-free 30-day money-back guarantee trial period. You'll also be helping out the pod by subscribing.
Yeah, so if we come on to the formation, we were umming and ahhing in the green room exactly what we think they're going to do, because they're very much a side that likes to play three at the back. However, suspensions might take that out of their hands. They have made a couple of signings in the window so far, and two centre-backs have joined them. So if they decide to match us up in a 3-5-2 or a 3-4-3, it would likely be two relatively young, inexperienced players coming into the back three to help them out. So if we go through what we think the lineup is likely to be based on the three at the back, it's going to be Toby Savin in goal, 21-year-old, so a young goalkeeper, played 15 times this season, conceded 15 goals, so he averages a goal a game conceded. James Trafford was there early for the first half of the season, but he was recalled and he was by Man City, and he was faced us in goal last week for Bolton. So Savin will be the keeper. And then the three centre-backs then, so it'll be Michael Nottingham most likely in the middle, 26 appearances so far this season, 3 goals. He's a bit of a monster. He's 6'3". So if you were at Bolton last week and saw Ricardo Santos sort of, you know, all over Macaulay Bond with the physicality and the height, expect a little bit more of the same maybe this weekend. If we assume the two new guys will come into the side, we're going to try and butcher the pronunciations here. It's looking like J. Rich Bagallo, who signed from Crystal Palace. He's 6'5". So what are you shaking your head for? We agreed that in the green room, didn't we?
No, we agreed Bagallo, but it's fine.
Okay, Bagallo. 6'5", signed from Crystal Palace. So he might well come in alongside Nottingham. And then it's Reza Legenlo, who they've signed from Newcastle. Both of them came on against Sunderland in the midweek after the red card. So the three centre-backs are likely to be those three, with Mitch Clark in the right wing-back position. 8 goals, 1 assist. Eight appearances, 1 goal, no assists so far this season. And they've got Yeboah Akinwa on loan from Man City. He's a defensive fullback. He doesn't really like to get above the halfway line. He's got no goals and no assists in 15 appearances, but he's likely to be the left-sided one. As we said earlier, Ross Sykes got sent off against Sunderland midweek. He's one of their stalwarts of the back three, so he's going to be missing. And they've got some really bad injuries as well. They've got Harvey Rogers, who's sort of a defensive player who can sort of slot in a couple of positions. He's not played since the end of December. And they had a guy called Sam Schering on loan from Bournemouth, but he got recalled and sent out to Cambridge. He played 10 games, so he was playing, but Bournemouth recalled him and sent him over to Cambridge.
Is it 5 or 6 loans in the match day?
Five.
Is it five?
Yeah, because
there's a lot of loans in that back six or back five alone, isn't it? You kind of, you've mentioned Baguelo, Longello. I assume are both loans.
No, they were signed permanent. They're permanent.
Are they permanent? Are they? Fair enough. Fine. I should have. So
the Man City left back is the only one on loan.
Fine. Okay.
Yeah.
I thought they might have issues with that, but yeah. And Mitch Clark out of right wing back or right back. I like him, ex Leicester.
Yeah.
He's always one of the players that I used to sign on loan on
Football Manager. Yeah. In midfield, we're expecting a midfield three of Harry Pell, Matt Butcher and Ethan Hamilton. Harry Pell's ex-Colu, isn't he? He scored in the game against us, didn't he, back in October. 5 goals and 3 assists in 24 games this season. Matt Butcher, sorry, go on.
No, he's decent.
Yeah, good season player. Yeah, Matt Butcher, 4 goals and 2 assists in 19 appearances. And Ethan Hamilton, 21 appearances with 4 goals. So they are a side that tend to score from midfield. It's not necessarily, you know, a flat defensive midfield to protect the defence. It's a midfield that likes to get forward and create chances and get their shots off. Again, this is a position where they are struggling a little bit. They had Liam Coyle, was shown a straight red card a couple of games ago against MK Dons for a high challenge. So he's currently serving the second of his 3-match suspension, so he won't be involved. Seamus Connolly is like their club captain. He's their Cole Skuse kind, you know. I think he's 33, 34. Keneally, he's 33, 34 years old. He's normally the mainstay of the central midfield, the defensive midfield option, but he's not played since being subbed at half-time against AFC Wimbledon back in the start of December. So he's out for a little while. And they've also got long-term injuries to Joe Pritchard, Tommy Lee and David Morgan. So they are a side. It's not the biggest squad in the world. And it's very much a side that are starting to struggle with if they get, you know, 2 or 3 injuries.
I like Harry Pell, forward, like Matt Butcher as well. I'm just saying Butcher and Pell. You know, we were linked with Matt Butcher as well. You know, as you said, there's creativeness there. But Pell's physical, big physical presence of set pieces. I think that's kind of where the goal came from against us, if I remember rightly. So he's having a really excellent season for them. Combative, but yeah, creative, as you say. As you're about to go on to, the issues are really up front, the lack of strength and depth up front. You know, the goal scoring conversion stuff we talked about, I think, is the issue.
Very much so. Yeah, we all know Colby Bishop, and we were linked with him. Certainly, was it the summer just gone, or was it the summer before when we were looking to bring people in? I really like Colby Bishop. I think he's a really good player. 23 appearances so far this season, 7 goals and 3 assists. So he's their top scorer. He's the focal point of what they do, focal point of the attack. And he'll be flanked either side. If we assume it's a 3-4-3, he'll be flanked either side by John O'Sullivan, who's got no goals and no assists in 16 games, and Sean McConville, who's another player I really, really like. He's made 26 appearances, 1 goal and 7 assists so far this season. So you can see a bit of a relationship there between McConville and Bishop. You know, they like to attack down that side. And McConville's got good delivery, as shown with his assists. Colby Bishop is pretty much the only forward option because they've had Jovan Malcolm recalled today by West Brom. He's gone back there. He only made a couple of appearances. And Joel Mumbongo, the other reserve striker, is also out injured. He can sort of play wide right or up front, and he's out injured as well. So it's very much sort of Colby Bishop leading the line on his own.
I thought Colby Bishop scored routinely against us. He scored twice in the
2-0 game, should we call it? Yeah,
19-20.
Yeah.
But I thought he was one of those players that likes to score against us. But maybe I'm wrong. But it is going to rely heavily on him. But I'm delighted for him because he's coming from non-league football at Leamington, where he was scoring goals for fun. But he's established himself as a really strong forward at this level. I think he's got teams up and around the kind of top half of, you know, the top 6, top 8, looking at him, and maybe even Championship as well. I'm taking a punt there. So I'm really happy for Colby Bishop. But yeah, that doesn't extend for whatever you
after,
might get up to
after Saturday. Yeah, I was going to say, we wish him well, but after 5 o'clock on Saturday. So that's your likely lot for Accrington and what to expect. And what do we think we're going to be doing? What's your thoughts on how Ipswich will line up? Presumably, Backinson will be involved from the bench. I assume he's been signed in time. So
Backinson, yeah. Yeah, he signed a time. He'll be on the bench. I can't imagine he'll start. I wouldn't be surprised if it's unchanged, to be honest.
Do you think he'll stick with the 3 at the back, or will he use the Bolton result as maybe a chance? Because we still don't know what he really wants to play, do we?
I think that it would be very short-termism to jettison that formation because of the Bolton game. To me, and I wasn't there, you were, it seemed to me that there were individual issues that caused us to lose that match. I know we weren't on it generally. I think it was just a bad day. I don't think it was a formation issue. So I would play it because the players have got used to it. I'd also keep the same team because again, something we bemoaned about Paul Cook and Paul Lambert before him, this constant chopping and changing. Just you don't build any familiarity. Maybe there's some lessons that have been learned from last week. I'd keep it the same. I honestly would. McKenna might think differently. You're right. I think our expectation is that he prefers the four at the back. I don't know whether that's true or not. So maybe he will use Bolton as an excuse to do that. He doesn't strike me the kind of coach to do that kind of chopping and changing. So I'm keeping it the same.
Do you think Penny might drop out, given he was given a bit of a torrid time against Bolton, and maybe Vincent Young might make an appearance in the left wing back position?
I think that would be the only area where there would be a case to be made, given Penny was subbed, wasn't he, as well?
Yeah, about 64, 65 minutes. I think he was getting a bit of a torrid. He was doubled up on, to be fair. He had Gethin Jones at sort of right centre-back, and the lad, was it Fossey Mossy on loan from Fulham, who was closing him down really, really quickly. So, he was kind of targeted as a potential weak link. But, yeah, that's the only area of the side I could think he might look to make a change, because Vincent Young did okay when he came on. But I guess you've always got that problem, haven't you, with Vincent Young, is that as soon as he gets to the byline, he's going to have to stop and check back onto his right foot before delivering the ball. So,
yeah. I would class Penny as I would class anyone else last week. It was just a bad day at the office. And Penny played perfectly fine against Gillingham, hadn't he? I'm going to ask myself a rhetorical I ask myself a question, which is I hate it, but do I think he's the long-term left wing back solution? No, I don't. Is he probably the best we've got available to us at the moment? Probably. Does it help his confidence if you just pull him out of the team after a bad performance? Yeah, I think it does. Therefore, I would keep him in the team. But Kieran McKenna might think otherwise.
And maybe look to strengthen the bench a bit with the likes of, Edwards wasn't involved last week. Bakinson is now going to be available. So, some of the options we've got are absolutely crazy. What are you thinking for a score prediction? I'm normally very confident, and I'm normally, I think last week I said 3-1 against Bolton, and I'm normally the voice of optimism, but I think this is going to be a tough game, and I think I can see it being a 1-1 draw personally.
Wow, okay. I mean, yeah, maybe it's what happens when you sit in the host's chair. Because I predicted a draw last week. I honestly think we'll win, but I don't think it'll be much. I think it'll be a narrow 1-0. I was thinking that maybe we'll concede from a set piece, because that feels like, so maybe 2-1. I think it would be a 1-goal victory.
Yeah. Okay, brilliant. And I'm assuming, even though I'm sat in the host chair, I can have no control whatsoever over the Fact of the Week video. So I'm sure you're looking forward to pushing your button. Brilliant. So the Fact of the Week this week, Accrington were not the first choice for the famous Accrington Stanley, who are they? Advert from the 1980s. Apparently, I've not verified this, but apparently Tottenham were the side that were originally going to be discussed by the two kids when they said about Ian Rush, if you don't drink your milk, you grow up to play for Tottenham Hotspur. Tottenham, however, kicked off and said, we're not having that. It's quite derogatory and we're a decent side. So the producers of the advert approached Accrington, offered them £10,000, which they accepted, and the rest is history. So yeah, Tottenham Hotspur were the original choice for the Accrington Stanley milk video. That comes from the kid who he's called something Rice. The main kid in the advert, he's the one that said this. Yeah, they filmed the whole one with Tottenham Hotspur and had to go back and do it. Carl Rice, and had to go back and do it again with Accrington Stanley after Tottenham kicked off.
Oh, I'd love that to be true, but I have to take moral, I have to raise moral concern of a feature called Fact of the Week. When you use the words, it has to be verified. But I like
Normally I find these things in a couple of different places, so I know they're legit, but I only found this in one place. But
I do like it.
It's quite an interesting one. So we'll go with that one this week.
Yeah, I like that one. Good stuff.
Okay, so to do a bit of plugs, obviously the Greyhound is our partner on the pre-match show. So before the game on Saturday, make sure you get yourselves down there. The likelihood you'll see some of us around the booth area at the back, it's Ipswich's best venue by far, pre-match and post-match. Brilliant food on offer, great choice of Adnams beers on tap. So get yourselves down there. If you see us, come and say hello to us. Come and have a chat with us. You'll be there from midday onwards, I guess, won't you?
Yep.
Yeah, and pop along and say hello to us. The Burley interview, the two-parter, is still available. We've got the playing side of it, which came out on Monday, and the management side, which came out on Wednesday. Two absolutely superb interviews. Really, really great work from Craig. You know, if you're similar of age to us two, it was that late 90s side, the early noughties side that we sort of grew up with and fell in love with. And it's brilliant to hear from the man that put it all together. It's two brilliant, brilliant interviews. Some quite funny stories in there as well, and some quite interesting facts. I never knew that he had opportunities to go elsewhere after the Premier League fifth place finish, and just two really, really superb interviews. So make sure you check that out on YouTube and on audio. And like I said, really, really great work from Craig with that one. Flagship show will be back recording on Sunday with a Monday morning release. I think it's Ben, Dave and Joe, I think. Ben hosting this week and Dave and Joe in the contributors chair. That will be recorded on Sunday. So the usual tweet will go out on Saturday post-match, and make sure you get your questions in for the guys for the Sunday show. And there'll be a midweek show next week, because we've got a midweek game at last, haven't we? AFC Wimbledon away on Tuesday night. So there'll be an immediate post-match reaction show on YouTube. We haven't ironed out Diesel who will do it, but it might well be you and me, maybe. We'll have a chat about it, and we'll see who's around and see who can do that one. But if we are doing that one, you can host that one, not me. That one, I'm not hosting a live one yet. And that brings us on then to the superb performance, the hit form at the right time run put together by myself. Let's play 101 and show the league table. Go on, put it on the screen. I know you don't want to, but look at it. It's brilliant. Look at that. 0.6 points per game. It's, I thought you might beat me last week, to be fair. I thought I was going to struggle. And if I'd done some research, I would have noticed that the two FA Cup games I was slagging off for being on telly were the exact same games that Sky showed last weekend. It was Leeds against West Ham and Man United against Villa. So I just retire the feature. I am champion. No one can touch me. We're gonna put it to one side, aren't we, for a few weeks. Put it into hibernation for a few weeks. It will be back, but we're going to put it to one side for a few weeks now in the hope that something's happened in the world of football and we can start making new lists. I mean, you must be smarting at this, aren't you? You had it in you. It was in your palms and you threw it away.
Yeah, thanks, Seb. Yeah. Right. I just ran out of ideas, to be honest. And I think...
Got too cocky, too arrogant.
No, I didn't. No. What I tried to do was I tried to make fundamental change. I tried to make the game better. And what I failed to do was realise... This is the instant gratification era.
It's the followers' fault, you're saying?
Yeah, I think it's Twitter's fault.
Interesting. Okay.
If we'd done this down the pub, I think probably most people would be fine. But as soon as you put, it's instant, it's a problem right now. You know, COVID's not a problem, hasn't been a problem for, decades before. And so that suddenly that trumps problems we've had. I just misread the dynamic. So and then, to be honest, we both struggled to find stuff, didn't we? Ultimately,
there was the awful week, wasn't there? I can't remember. Was it manager betting patterns versus something else? It was a really shocker. Poor week. So, yeah, we're going to retire that feature for a few weeks. It will be back, but we're going to retire it for a few weeks and we're going to trial something different. Do you want to tell the guys what we're going to be replacing it with?
Yeah, well, so we'll stockpile some room 101s and then come back all guns blazing towards the end of the season and see if we can finish in a nice, level pegging situation. Excuse me. We also had a suggestion, which I quite like and I thought about as well, of things that you would, a reverse 101. What would you introduce to make football better? I think Chris Rand tweeted with that suggestion, which I quite like as well. But what we're going to test is something else. And it's something that we talk about pretty routinely on this podcast. And I think you have to because of the team we support. So let me play the intro, which will explain everything, and then we'll talk through the rules. Singing along.
Just to clarify, if you're watching that on YouTube in the next few days and that is silent during the audio, it's because the YouTube police have got hold of him and made him remove the audio. It's Aqua's Turn Back Time, a classic hit from the 90s. Go on then, explain exactly what Blue Monday Sliding Doors is.
Yeah, well, so for those of you who knew that Aqua Turn Back Time was from the soundtrack of Sliding Doors, we are doing competitive sliding doors moments from Ipswich Town history. So we will pick a manager and their era of managing the club, and we will each take turns to put forward a moment in history where if fortunes had gone the other way, things would have been so much better, or things wouldn't have been so bad. And what we'll do is we will ask you, the excellent people who will think long term, and because
the
this
ones,
is
the ones you just slagged off, yeah. No, clarify.
Because this is a different feature where we can think across many years, and in this week, in honor of George Burley, we're going to do the early George Burley era. I had to pause to get that rhyme in my head. People have had 20 years maybe to think about this one, so I trust their wisdom much more on this one. I'm feeling a little bit more confident, but we'll see. I'm not really sure what Seb's going for. Shall I go first and just kind of test the concept?
Yeah, so to clarify, we're doing pre the promotion season, aren't we, for Burley?
Yeah, pre-99.
You might be thinking, why aren't they going for these obvious picks? They will follow in, you know, consecutive weeks. But for now, it's the pre-99-2000 season to explain our choices. Go on then, fire away.
If this is any good, we kind of need to give as many managerial eras as we can. Maybe if we get different people in the show, I'm not wishing to mention his vintage, but Dave Diamond, we can talk about maybe the earlier eras, Craig. We can talk about John Lyle and, you know, the situation with Steve Whitten, perhaps. And I don't know, maybe that was a big sliding doors moment for him. Let's start with early Burley. My offering up for this week's sliding doors moment in Ipswich Town history is James Scowcroft's across the goal header on the last day of the season against Millwall, which hit the post. And if that had trickled in, we would have ended up with 72 points and we would have made it into the playoffs at the expense of Charlton. Now, I'm not suggesting we would have won those playoffs because our form wasn't particularly great at that point. But once you're in the playoffs, and typically the team that scrapes in on the last day into sixth for some reason has some mystical powers that when it comes to playoffs, get them the form, they may at least get them to the final. So I think that because of it's such a minute, we're talking a matter of inches, that might have been totally different era for us. We might have bounced straight back to the Premier League at the first time of asking. We might have been fully established up there by now. Who knows? But because it was such a minute situation that I think it hit a divot on the pitch or something, that and that cursed North Stand post.
Is it the same post we hit like in the cup against Chelsea? We hit the same one.
Steve said, I'm trying to remember. Yeah, I think it might
be.
I was there,
but I'm going back nearly 30 years.
I cannot remember.
I remember having to leave the stadium because Millwall started. They went down, didn't they? And they started smashing up the seats.
They ripped up seats, and I was underneath. I was in the Cobos stand that day, and we were evacuated. It would have been great to be on the pitch, because we were celebrating finishing in the playoffs rather than having to run away because we were avoiding getting smashed on the head with plastic seats. We're saying as well that our pitch was absolutely appalling at that point, and that would have been a really good leveller going into the playoffs as well. Just for interest, if I can,
Have we would have played? Because obviously, we play the side that finishes third. So I wonder who that potentially could have been that season.
Leicester went up, I think. From the playoffs, we would have played Crystal Palace.
Okay.
We wouldn't. Yes, we would have. Yeah, it was. So Sunderland went up that season, 95-96. And then it was Derby in second. Palace, Stoke, Leicester, and Charlton end up making the playoffs. And it was Leicester who went up. So there you go.
Okay. So that's your entry. My one is from a couple of seasons later. And I've thought this for a little while now, but I think in the 98-99 season, so the season before promotion, we lose Johnson and we lose Scowcroft in relatively quick succession to injuries. And I think had those two stayed fit, I think we would have won the league that year. That's my shout. So Johnson gets injured. He scores against Barnsley in a 1-0 win mid-November. It is 1998. We win the game 1-0, but he has to have a cartilage operation. So he then goes out and we bring in the likes of Samassi Abu on loan to try and replace him up front with sort of Naylor and stuff. And that's okay. We don't do too badly. I mean, Abu scores a goal and we win against Sheffield United very late on Sky, I remember. But then about a month later, mid-December, it's Barnsley again. We lose 2-0 at Portman Road. And I think Scowcroft, is it his collarbone he does, or he really badly injures his arm or something. He's out for a little while. And losing those two leads us to a not great run of form. We lose 3 out of 5 games after we lose Scowcroft because we simply got very little firepower up front. And I think had those two stayed fit, we would have definitely won the league that year because we were playing so well. Johnson comes back, but he doesn't score until mid-March second week of March, I think it is, against Watford, the famous Kieran Dyer game where he scores with a broken leg. So, and then he only gets about three goals in total from the injury until the end of the season. And I remember him being really, really out of form as well in the playoff semi against Bolton. So I think potentially had those two injuries not occurred in 98-99, we would have won the league potentially. It was Sunderland, I think, won the league that year, wasn't it? But I think we'd been right up there challenging them, and I think we could have snuck it.
Yeah, it's worth saying that season we were 1 point, well, and a lot of goals. So let's say 2 points from second place. What you should have gone for there is losing to Crewe in the third game before
the Jermaine Wright sending off game,
Venus's penalty and so on, because if we'd won that game, we would have gone up.
But these things have a knock-on effect. You know, Johnson was so out of form then because of the injury and the layoff and stuff. That factors into that kind of performance. And also, I thought that's kind of an obvious one. You know, we spoke about bogey sides earlier with Accrington. Crewe were very much our bogey side of that era. So, yeah, I think we would have won the league that year if those two hadn't had the bad injuries that affected their season.
Okay. So what we will do is we'll put that on the poll. How I'm going to get yours into 25 characters is going to be a struggle, yeah. But we'll figure that one out. And yeah, we'll do the usual thing. We'll put the Twitter poll out, and you tell us which has had the bigger bearing on Ipswich Town's history.
I mean, not to do us down, but they're both completely irrelevant, aren't they? Because we have the brilliant 99-2000 season where we sign, you know, Marcus Stewart comes in, and I know we lose Kieran Dyer, but we reinvest the money, and we have the amazing games against Bolton, the amazing day out at Wembley. So we're very much aware this is a feature that as we go on will have much more significance. This is kind of our early testing feature, and the Burley era is very much a superb outliner compared to what's going to follow in the coming weeks.
The way that I would think about it is Doc Brown in Back to the Future 2 explains why when they return to 1985, there's Biff Tannen's Pleasure Paradise instead of the Hill Valley clock tower and all that kind of stuff. And he draws a chalkboard, this tangent and all that kind of stuff. What we're trying to do to create here is a tangent which is positive for Ipswich. So the moments that we're talking about, if Jono and Scoey had been available, Seb's hypothesis is that tangent would have led to promotion because they would have been fit all season and scoring loads of goals, and we wouldn't have been in the playoffs. That's my tangent is we would have got into the playoffs. We may have won. And because at that point, I think the Premier League starts to get away from us. I just think if you stay in the Premier League for the kind of first, for the majority of the 90s, I think you do all right. You know, there's a lot of teams that are still there who, pretty crappy. I think Everton could have got relegated same time we did, and what might have happened to them, they clawed on, they stuck on. If we'd bounced straight back, I wonder whether we'd been in the top flight more often than not over the next few decades. We'll never know.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. And I'm thinking if we go up that season, then Kieran Dyer stays with us and becomes a Premier League player. And, you know, that has far-reaching consequences and stuff. So let us know what you think about the feature. We'll put the Twitter poll out. Let us see what you think about the feature. And remember, you can either vote for his one where he slagged you all off, or you can do the right thing and vote for my one. So that's our new Sliding 101. Go on, play the video one last time before YouTube ban it. And that is your lot. Thank you very much to all those of you viewed and watched and contributed on the poll. And thank you to Rich for the research and giving me the chance to host. Last couple of plugs. Obviously, like we said, the Greyhound. Get yourselves down there on Saturday. Come and see us if we're around. Get yourselves to BlueMondayITFC.co.uk, which lists all of our shows. The Burley interview is still available. Last week's flagship with me, Craig and Rich is available after Bolton. We'll have the flagship show going out on Monday morning. So all the good stuff. Blue Monday ITFC. Get yourself there for the lowdown. A big thanks to Kieran, who came on and joined us, obviously. And because I'm the host, I get to say to you, give us the last word.
Yeah, so thank you, Seb, for hosting. Feedback to @BrownS08 on that one. Looking forward to being back at Portman Road. It feels like it's been forever. Hopefully an enjoyable pre-match at the Greyhound. Do come and say hello there. Hopefully a match that will be entertaining and will end in victory. And I will just end with my favourite. Definitely haven't forgotten to queue up the outro music, which I'm just reaching for now. What I will say is, if you are watching the video, all the people who've donated to the podcast, all the people involved in sponsoring Lucy O'Brien, their names are up there. We update that as much as we can. So do give that a watch as well. We really support the people who donate. It's obviously discretionary. We really appreciate that. So thank you to them. Your names are there. So do stick around for that. And I will say, come on, you Blues.
It's the promotion running. Everyone is gathered round to watch. The McNuggets share boxes are there, offering much needed distraction. Your mate's already been booked for double dipping, but in you swoop to steal the last nugget and claim all 3 points. Oh, and there is the Harry Clark fist pump to celebrate. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in at participating restaurants.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.